Let's give Pastor Harry a big hand.
Everybody say, praise the Lord. Come on, now say it like you mean. Say, praise the Lord. I know it's early, but praise the Lord. You know, God gets up too. Amen. Thank you for your excitement. Amen. Amen. Praise God. It's good to be back with you. How many of you have ever heard me before? Okay, let's do it this way. How many haven't heard me before? Okay. Well, maybe you don't want to. No, I'm just joking. Hallelujah. No, it's good to be back with you. Just to give you a little background of who I am, we're missionaries in Guatemala. We've been in the ministry, believe it or not. I've been in the ministry for 33 years this year. Hallelujah. Started when I was 5 years old. Hallelujah. But praise God. We were pastoring up in Colorado, and the Spirit of God just dealt with a group of ministers, and your pastor was one of them, about starting to work in Guatemala. And so I went several years ago and looked it out, spot out the land, and so I was going just to look at it and be a part of it as a church. But when I got down there, the Lord says, you're supposed to give up your church and go down there and live. And so we have done that, and so God is doing some great things. And I just want to say thank you for this church, for being a part. I know you're doing a lot of good things. You're doing a lot of good things in this church and through this church and your community. But one of the things you're doing, you're touching the nation of Guatemala. And I just want to give you just a little bitty update of what's happening in Guatemala, what you're helping us do in the nation of Guatemala. And like I've always said, there'll be a little bitty short people. God loves short people. There will be short people in heaven because you helped us do what God's called us to do. Amen? Yeah. Amen. And so there's our main thrust. Who can tell me what that says in Spanish? No. Correcto. You said it in Spanish. Hallelujah. I always say that. I say, what says it in Spanish? And they tell me they translate it into English. No, I say, what does it say in Spanish? But it does mean Destiny School of Ministry. That is our main thrust in ministry. I'm a minister. I'm a preacher. And that's what we do. And we have a Bible school. And we just graduated our fifth graduating class in October. How many know God's a good God? And the school year down there runs from February roughly to October. We follow that school pattern. And so we just graduated our fifth class, and God is doing some great things through the school. And there's a lot of people that are doing a good work there, and we just have a part to play in what God is doing. Amen. I mean, we're not the only ones there, but we do have a part to play, and we're helping and ministering to people and helping other pastors do what God's called them to do. Let's go to the next one. And there is my wife in the black dress right there. I've been in the States for about a week and a half. I came in a little bit early. We usually use November and December. I got to get my dates right. November and December, the travel itinerary, and come back and see family for the holidays. And she just got back into the snow country of Oklahoma yesterday. And she texted me this morning, and we live in Guatemala, and they don't know what snow is. And so she texted me this morning. She said, it's snowing here. And I said, I was in Colorado last Sunday, and I, believe it or not, I flew to Vegas. You got to earn your support somehow. I'm just joking. Oh, let it spin, Put it on nine. No, I didn't do that. I went to a conference, a minister's conference at a great church there in Vegas, and I left Colorado, and it was 4 degrees. I flew into Vegas. It was 74 degrees. I thought, wow, it was really, really nice, and I flew here. It was really nice, but that's my wife. She just flew into Tulsa yesterday, and then beside her on the left is the pastor's wife. We did something a little bit different this year. We've always had a Bible school in our town. And so the Lord just dealt with us, to go where they're at. And so this year, we decided not to have one in our town. We decided to go to where they were at. And so we did two Bible schools. It was a lot of work, a lot of driving for us. But we did two Bible schools. And we did one Monday night, Tuesday night. We did the other one, gotta get my dates right, Wednesday night and Thursday night. And so we did one in a church. It was probably about 20 minutes or 15 minutes from us. The other one was about 40 minutes drive. And this is the pastor's wife on the left. She came to our Bible school. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we had some challenges with her. Not with her, but she had some physical challenges the third quarter. And she ended up in the hospital. But we stood and we believed God. And she was able to finish school. And it was such an honor and a privilege to have her a part of the school. I mean, God's doing great things. And then the young lady between my wife and I, is one of the girls from the church there, too, that we did the Bible school in. She's a big blessing. Let's go to the next one. And that is Pastor Freddie. Pastor Freddie, I've known Pastor Freddie for many years. He was an associate at one church, and he's had some things happen in his family, nothing that he really did. Just some things happened in his family, and his family got restored. But he's no longer working in that church. He's out of the ministry. And he came to our Bible school. We allow you to come midterm. And then if you come back the next year, you can finish up. And so he came midterm, and he couldn't come back. But this year, we moved the Bible school, and it was a little closer to his town. It was maybe about 15 minutes away, 10 minutes away. And I called him, and I said, you know what? God has a call on your life, and we're not going to let you go. And I said, you're coming to our Bible school, and you're not going to pay a dime, and we're going to see you graduate. And at graduation in October, he's like a baby, just crying and crying. And you know, God is a good God, amen? Yes. And so we're believing God, and you know, I haven't told him, but I believe in my heart, we're going to help him start a church one day. I mean, we're just going to help him. God hasn't called me the pastor there, but I want to help other ministers fulfill their destiny. Amen. And so it just thrilled us that Pastor Fred, and you could see a smile on his face. He came back and just really finished school, and it was a good thing. Let's go to the next one. And there is my daughter. One of the things that she likes to do is that we have an elder center that we go to and minister on a regular basis. And it's kind of like a kids' day out, but it's for the older people. And so they just bring them there. They feed them. They do crafts. And we go in and we minister to them, lay hands on them. And my daughter really loves that. When she was going to college there in Tulsa, she was there in Tulsa going to Rhema. Then she went to college. And so she lived there for several years. And she'd go every Saturday to the nursing home and minister to the people there. She just loves it. I know I'm working on my Spanish. I don't know Spanish very good. I have a translator with me everywhere I go. This morning I got up and I was writing some notes down. I thought, okay, you got to think about what the translator can say this morning. I thought, wait a minute, I get to speak English, hallelujah. I don't need a translator this morning. But anyway, I know I don't know Spanish very well, but my daughter thinks she knows Spanish. And I said, Tina, that's not a word. She said, yeah, they did. They understand me. I said, no, they're smiling at you. They don't know what you're saying. They're just smiling, you know. Let's go to the next one. And we had an opportunity. One of the things that we do, we bring teams in from different parts of the country, and it enables us to do a little bit more outreaches than we could normally do with ourselves because of the staff and everything else. And so we brought a team in, and believe it or not, they were outside of New York into Connecticut, and they came in, and we built 3 homes in 2 days. And we dedicated those homes, and it was just a tremendous blessing to what God enabled us to do. I won't get into all the details of the family, but it was just a tremendous blessing, and they were just thrilled that they got a home. Let's go to the next one. And that's a view from the inside. The homes are more what we would call a storage building, but to them it's a Taj Mahal. I mean, they really, really, it beats what they have with the dirt floor and the makeshift roof and walls. And we go in and pour a concrete slab in and put it in nice dry. And so and then we also give them furniture. Every home gets a bed, dresser, and things like that. Let's go to the next one. And there's my wife. She goes up on a regular basis up to a village up in the mountains, and she has a class for these ladies and teaches them how to cook different things. And then that day she gave them all blenders. Hallelujah. So pretty, pretty cool thing. Let's go to the next one. And there's one of the outreaches that we do in a public school. Believe it or not, they allow us to go into the public school, and we go in and minister to them and just preach the word of God. And then we also have a pinata where we just give the kids a lot of sugar and send them home back to mom and dad. Let's go to the next one. Hallelujah. And that's just a few weeks ago, matter of fact. It was right before I came here. There's a church that we go to on a regular basis, and I preach there and just minister there. The pastor's a great guy, and I've seen his church congregation grow, and I've seen him, God multiply him, and it's just a tremendous blessing. And the young lady translated for me, there's three girls in the family, and she's the middle daughter. Her sister and her came to our Bible school our first year. And Raquel, and her little sister translate for us. They both take turns 2 nights a week translating for us at the Bible school. They are a tremendous, tremendous blessing. Matter of fact, we just adopted them as our Guatemalan girls. Hallelujah. Praise God. So if we ever move back to the States, they're moving with us. Hallelujah. Praise God. And matter of fact, I got 3 boys, and there's 3 girls. And so I told Raquel the other day, I said, you just pick one of my boys, and you can marry one, and then the other one can pick one, and who's ever left over, the other one gets. Just keep it in the family, you know. I mean, she's a good girl. She really is. And let's go to the next one. And just a little story right here with this young girl. Her name is Mirta, and she has been battling cancer, leukemia. And we've been praying, believing God with her for the healing power of God in her life, and she is doing great. I mean, she is the healed of the Lord. And what's really tender to us is that many of you, some of you know the situation that we had with our son. He had a brain tumor several years ago. We got him to the States. He had treatment at St. Jude Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, a wonderful, wonderful hospital. Well, today he's at ORU, healed, no problems, no difficulty. The healing power of God works. Amen. But what's tender to us is the hospital that this little girl was getting treatment at in Guatemala City. She'd get on the chicken bus, a little bus, and go to Guatemala City for her treatment for leukemia. That hospital gets training and help from St. Jude in Memphis, Tennessee. I mean, oh, God is a good God, amen? And it's just like it was just God just brought her across our path to stand with her and believe God with her. Well, it's a very cultural thing there to cook in your homes. And so they have told their mom to quit cooking over an open stove because it's not good for you to breathe and it's not good for your little girl that's battling cancer. I mean, it's not, she's been through all the chemo and all that. It's not good for her to breathe that. Well, just, I guess it was in October, my son that's, went through the cancer treatment, he's at ORU. They started, in August. And I don't know why, but in October they had a fall break. I thought, I'm paying for you to go to college. What are you doing in a fall break? I mean, you just started college. Stay in college. Well, anyway, they had a fall break. He wanted to come to Guatemala and do something. So look at the next picture. He came that week, and we built a stove for her in her house. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? I mean, God is good. Amen. And so we built that store. We didn't charge them anything. We just wanted to show the love of God. Amen. Amen. Now, we did what we could do in the spiritual. We're standing, believing God. We're praying for her healing, to be manifest. And we're also helping her with the doctor. But also, we wanted to do something where we just helped them physically, where she didn't have to breathe that smut and snot and everything else in her home. Let's go to the next one. And what's cool about it is her mom is also going to use that stove to sell tortillas. A little business on the side. Hallelujah. So that's pretty cool. This is a church that we go to on a regular basis and do outreaches. The pastor started his church by ministering to kids. He started ministering to kids, and then the church grew, and the adults started coming. When you're ministering to the kids, mom and dad end up coming. Well, if you notice, that's a dirt floor. Well, we had a team that was supposed to come in July, a pastor friend of mine in Colorado. We pastored in Colorado for years, and a pastor friend of mine, they were supposed to come in, I guess it was August? Yeah. And he called, and through a series of events, they could not come. And so so he knew that we were believing God for a particular thing in the ministry, equipment that we needed. And so he said, well, we're going to send the money for that, part of that, not just what we would have spent on our airplane tickets and stuff for the pastors and stuff that were coming. He said, we're going to send you that money to help you pay that for that thing. And so I said, that's nice of you. So I hung up the phone, and I thought, that's not what I want. I mean, what I was believing God for, that wasn't going to be enough to do it. And what we were going to do with his team was we were going to do a project. And so I called and I asked my wife. I said, he says, just call him. I mean, you're friends. She said, call him. And I said, well, you know what, Pastor, this is not really what you're going to send me. Won't pay for the project, the thing that I need. I said, it'll just sit in the bank till I get more money. I said, but what we were going to do with your team is look at the next. Let's go to the next one. Now, what we're going to do with your team, we're going to put a concrete floor in that pastor's church. He said, well, how much is it? And I said, well, this is what we're going to do. We had it in the budget and everything else. He said, well, we'll send you that money. And so we were able to hire some people to go in and put the floor in that pastor's sanctuary. Hallelujah. Yes. Isn't God good? And the people that we hired, they knew what they were doing, and they end up putting some kind of, like I said, I'm a preacher. They put some kind of powder or something inside the concrete, and we paint, and they didn't have to paint it. It would just turn the concrete that color red. Then I came back the next day, and they had enough concrete and time. They built them a platform. That's a full meal deal. So that was really, really cool to us. And that pastor just cried like a baby. I mean, what God did. And that's just some of the things that you help us do. And we're just reaching out to pastors, to teachers, and just helping them do what God's called them to do. Let's go to the next one. And there is my lovely family. And so my wife, again, sends greetings. She doesn't get to go with me that much when I travel and minister the word of God, but she sends your greeting, and we do love your pastors. How many know you got good pastors? Yeah. Amen. Say amen. 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 And we do have some information out in the foyer. We have some brochures. When I was coming this way, I was getting things ready. And, you know, my wife says, well, that brochure is a couple years old. You're going to still use that brochure? I said, well, I got it paid for, honey. It's a little outdated, but I'm going to still use it. And so there's a brochure out in the foyer. It's a little bit outdated. It's a couple years old, but you get the gist of what we're doing in the nation of Guatemala. And we do have, I live in the land of coffee. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I live in the land of coffee, and we have experimented, and we've looked at different coffee plantations, and there's good coffee there, but we believe that we found the best. And the reason we believe, we pray over our coffee. Hallelujah. We pray over our coffee. And I do have some coffee back there in the foyer. It's only $18. Well, actually, I think it's $100, but I'm going to give it to you today for $18. See, you got to, you know, you're supposed to make it higher than when you can discount it. You think you're getting a good deal. I'm going to tell you, ladies, that's what they do at the shopping mall. My wife said, well, I come back, look what I bought. I saved you $45. I said, no, you spent $100. You didn't save me $45. You spent $100. Give me that plastic and I'll save $100. Yeah, that's right. There you go. But this is only $100. But today, because you're so sweet and so nice, I'll give it to you for $18. It's whole bean. And so if you don't have a grinder, I tell people just to put it in your mouth, chew it up, then put it in a coffee filter. No, don't do that. It's nasty. My son does do that. He chews it, but I think that's nasty. But anyway, it's out in the foyer. It's whole bean. It's really good coffee. And what it does, it just helps us with our traveling expenses back and forth. I had to buy three tickets the other day to come to the U.S. And so, you know, God is a good God. Amen.
Amen.
I had a pastor friend of mine. I got to hurry. I had a pastor friend of mine. You have ever heard of Lester Sumrall? He's a great general of God. He's in heaven right now. I had a pastor friend of mine years ago, Lester Sumrall, came to his church, and he was preaching. And he said, tonight, Lester Sumrall, you know, he's an older minister, and he's, you know, kind of, you know, real strong. Tonight, I'm going to preach out of my book. I'm going to preach out of my book. And so the ushers are in the aisle, and they're going to pass out my book. And it's $10 a book. So they're going to collect the book. They're going to collect the money, so pass them out. He literally took the book and passed it down and then collected $10 from everybody. So the ushers had my coffee. We're going to pass it out. So everybody gets a bag. Then you got to give me the... I'm just joking. So praise the Lord. Anyway, the coffee's back there. It'll light your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Go ahead and stand up to your feet. And I will just minister just for the next couple hours. I was on the plane yesterday. I flew from Vegas to here, and I was on the plane, and the young lady, you know, she's a little bit older than me, and so I was on the plane and sitting next to me, and I didn't realize it until we got to talking that she goes to the church I was at the conference, and so she flew here all the way from Vegas to here, and so we got to talking, and I invited her to the service today, and so she said she might be coming to the 11 o'clock service, and so I was showing her on my phone the service times, and I found out that y'all had a 12:45 service by looking at the internet. I didn't know that. I thought, okay, I got to preach three times. Hallelujah, praise God. I was in Denver last week, and a pastor friend of mine, we were eating dinner, you know, at Saturday night. And he said, we have two services. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah, and the first one. I said, you didn't tell me that. I was going to show up at 10:30, ready to go. And he said, no, the first service at 6 a.m. I said, you're doing it. I said, 6 a.m. ain't going to see me. No, I'm just joking. No, he said, no, I'm just teasing you. He said, the first one is at 9, the next one's at 10, 11, I think he said. So let's go ahead and lift our hand. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. And Father God, we love you with all of our heart. We give you the glory. We give you the honor, Father God, for what you're doing in this church and through this church, Father God. I thank you for touching people's life, Father God, in this church and through this church and around the world, Father God. You're doing great and mighty things. And we honor you, Lord, for what you're doing in this church. And we honor you for what you're doing in the nation of Guatemala. And we thank you, Father God, when we approach your word with reverence and awe, and we don't take it for granted and we don't take it lightly, but Father God, it's a good opportunity. It's a privilege to come into your presence. It's a privilege to come and worship you and receive of your word. We just give you the glory. We give you the honor in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said,
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Now go with me to Micah chapter 6. And we're going to look at verse 8. And this is a familiar scripture, and we all know this scripture. Many of us may have a plaque on our wall at home, and you've seen this scripture. It's a very popular one, but I believe God is going to give us some new revelation and some new insight and application of this scripture. It says, I will show thee, O man, what is good. Everybody say, what is good? And what does the Lord require of thee? What is good and what the Lord requires of thee? And it goes on to say, to do justice. Everybody say, do justice. To love mercy. Everybody say, love mercy. And to walk humble with your God. Everybody say, walk humble. Now look at that first part of that verse. It says, thou will show thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee. We live in a world that there is requirements. There are things, obligations that we need to fulfill. There's things that we need to do. If you want to come to my country, Guatemala, I know I'm from the U.S., but I live in Guatemala, and by choice, it's my country. If you want to come to my country, if you want to come to Guatemala, you must. It's not an option. You must have a valid passport. They won't let you come into my country with, it's a requirement. You can't beg, oh, just please, please let me in. We had a lady come just, I guess it was a few months ago. She come, she was with the team, and she got to Orlando, to the airport, and she had no passport, and no passport, no flyee. You're not going to get to go. And so she couldn't come. They were one short on the team. I mean, you know, there are requirements. And if you want to do what God wants you to do, you need to fulfill the requirements. Now look at this scripture. It says here, it says, I will show thee, O man, what is good. Everybody say, what is good? Now the requirements that God has on our life are not hard, are not difficulty, they're not unreasonable. They're good requirements that we can fulfill. Say amen. Amen. I don't know the young man's name. I don't remember your name. Back in the back. What's your name? Josh. Come here, Josh. Now, I have a $10 bill. Would you like this $10 bill, Josh? No, seriously. Would you like it? You'd like this $10 bill, right?
Yeah.
Now, there are some requirements. And I had the spirit of honoring this in me. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you can't cast it out. Hallelujah. There are some requirements for you to get this $10 bill. Okay? Now, I want you to close your eyes. No, I'm just joking. Hallelujah. There are some requirements. And if you meet the requirements, I'll give you this $10 bill. Okay? Now. The requirement is to get this $10 bill, I got to shave your whole head and shave your face. Is that good?
No.
No. I mean, that's an unreasonable requirement. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if you're bald, it wouldn't be unreasonable. Give it to me, Harry. Go ahead.
Come on.
But that's an unreasonable request. Amen?
Amen.
Now, okay, we won't do that one. Give me 2 push-ups. How about that? Okay? Give me 2 push-ups. 1, 2. Now, Angel's going to sit on your back, and you're going, no, I'm just joking. Now, okay, there you go. It's yours. Praise God. Everybody give him a hand. Now, the first requirement that I gave him was unreasonable. It's something he couldn't do. I mean, he could have done, but it wasn't really for $10. Like she said, maybe $1,000. Everybody say, oh, shave my head, shave my head. Somebody say, well, for $50, hallelujah, praise God. So we found your price, hallelujah. I mean, that was
it wasn't reasonable. I mean, you know, there are three requirements listed here that God is wanting you and I to fulfill. Now, I mean, you know, God is a good God, and He will bless us where He can bless us. But sometimes God is limited in His ability to bless us because we are not fulfilling the requirements that He's asking of us. I mean, you know, there is always a Godward side and a manward side. I mean, you know, salvation is a free gift. That is the Godward side. It's been purchased for everybody, whosoever wills. But how many know the manward side is we got to receive Amen. That free gift. Yes. I mean, you know, you're not saved just because Jesus went to the cross. There are some requirements that you got to fulfill to get that salvation. And I mean, you know, God is going to love you regardless if you don't receive Him or not. His love is there extended towards you. But if you want to see all that God has for you, you've got to fulfill the requirements. And one of the requirements is you've got to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Now, us, everybody say us. We-ins. Or us-ins, hallelujah. We that are saved, we've fulfilled that requirement of salvation. It's not our works, it's our big brother's works. Amen? So now that we're in the kingdom of God, He said here, look at this verse. I like this scripture. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
He says, I want to show thee, O man, what is good, what is reasonable, what does the Lord require of thee? Somebody say, well, what does God want me to do? Well, there's three things that are listed here. And I'll give you, we'll look at just real briefly, all three of them. And we may take a little bit more time on some of them. Hallelujah. It says, to do justice. Everybody say, do justice.
Yes.
To love mercy. Everybody say, love mercy.
Love mercy.
And to walk humble with our God. Everybody say, walk humble.
Walk.
Let's look at the first one. It says, to do justice. What does that mean, to do justice? How many know there's a right way and a wrong way to do things?
Yes.
Say amen.
Amen.
I mean, I know we live in a world that's turned things upside down, and they've called wrong right. But that doesn't make it right. I mean, we as Christians, I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about Christians. We as believers, there is a right way and a wrong way to live.
Amen.
And God has called us to live right and to do right. To do what He asks us of, that is to live according to His word. Amen?
Amen.
Years ago, and I'm restricted now, and, you know, my kids get a little bit older. And so when you're raising your kids, you put restrictions on them. Then when they get a little older, they put restrictions on you. Don't you laugh at me. It's true. And so I've been told I can't say how old my daughter is. But how many know, but you can do math. How many know that? Okay. So my daughter, 20 years ago, and she was 6 years old. Did I say how old she was? No. Boom. There's always a way to skin a cat. Hallelujah. You learned that being married for 33 years too. Hallelujah. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. My daughter, when she was like, she probably actually was like 3 years old, 3 or 4 years old. We were at a church in Texas. We were youth pastors. Excuse me. We were associate pastors, and we also had a responsibility of overseeing the singles group. And so we were having a fellowship at the church. And we had a fellowship hall. It was probably longer than this, believe it or not. It was an old grocery store that we converted into a church. And so the fellowship hall was probably this wide, but it was, you know, went out maybe to the street. It was a real long, the kitchen back there. And we had a stage in the fellowship hall. And my daughter, you know, she's a preacher's kid. And she got up on the platform. And we're all eating in the church. We're all eating in tables. And we're having, you know, in the South, you know, Texas, they have an eating meeting. I mean, you know, we had them good, chicken and dumplings. I mean, we had some good stuff, hallelujah. And so they're all eating. And my daughter gets up there, and she grabs the microphone, and she's just a little bitty. She grabs the microphone, and she says, be saved, behave, and be healed. Be saved, behave, and be healed. Well, you know what? I believe God sometimes looks at us and said, you're saved, now behave.
Come on now.
What does it mean to do justice? It means to do the right thing.
Amen.
And God is calling us in the body of Christ. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about us in the body of Christ. It's required. God wants us to live right and to do right. Amen?
Yes.
And that doesn't mean we're going to be perfect and have everything down. I mean, no, we can stumble, we can fall, but we get back up and we go again. I mean, when you make a mistake, you don't cover up that mistake. You repent. You know, that's a good Bible word. That's a good word for Christians. Say amen. We repent. And what does repent mean? It means about face. It means going the other direction. People think, well, God just knows my heart. No, you need to repent if you stumble, if you fall. But, you know, there is a right way and a wrong way of doing things. And so what he's saying is here is that to do justice, to do right. Everybody say, do right.
Do right.
Now look at your neighbor and say, is he talking to me? Is he talking to me? And you turn back to your neighbor and say, yeah, he's talking to you.
Come on now.
Everybody say, this is good. Now, I got to hurry because we've got another service. James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, be ye, talking about you, me, us-ins, amen? Be ye what? Doers of the word and not what? Hearers only. Now, I mean, oh God, it's good to hear the word of God. And faith comes by hearing the word of God. But it's the what makes it a reality in my life is when I do the word. I mean, you can read a lot about the word. You can even read a lot about something, a flying or whatever it may be. But until you do it, you don't really experience the full benefit of it. Why is God wanting us to do right? It's because he wants us to see what right will give us. I mean, when you do right, when you act right, when you do the word of God, when you just don't hear, there's benefits for hearing the word. But when I do it, man, there's benefits. It's like it just explosion goes off in my life. When I plant the seed of God in my life and act on that seed. I mean, there's resources, there's abilities, there's power, there's might, there's resources from heaven coming to my life. But it doesn't just come by me hearing it. It doesn't become just believing in it. People say, well, I thought about doing right. I want to do right. But, I mean, thinking about it and wanting to do right and knowing to do right is not the same thing as he says, do justice. Everybody say, do. Now, the rest of the verse is deceiving your own self. Sometimes we can put up a facade and we can deceive other people, but we can't deceive God. And we can even actually deceive ourselves. And sometimes we think that we're doing right. But how many know we got to follow what God wants us to do? Everybody say, do justice. Now, look at the next one. It says to love mercy. Everybody say, love mercy. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Oh, I got to quit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be what? Verse 32. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. How many like it? When you miss it, when you mess up, when you stumble, that people forgive you. Now, let me ask you this. We're not perfect, amen? And sometimes we in the body of Christ, we're hard on other people and we're soft on us. Listen to what I'm saying. Sometimes I believe we need to be a little bit softer on other people and harder on us. I mean, and don't get me wrong. I mean, we need to receive the love and the forgiveness. But sometimes we're so judgmental of other people and we allow ourselves a lot of grace and a lot of mercy and a lot of forgiveness. I mean, we need to do the same grace and love and forgiveness to other people. It says here to love mercy. I believe we don't need to just love to get it. We need to love to give mercy. When somebody does something wrong, our example is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. When he hung on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. I mean, he could have called down legions of angels. And it's sad to say, if some of us was upon that cross, there wouldn't be anybody left in the earth. Shoom, bow, get them, God. Shoom. I showed you, didn't I? Boom. Don't you look all righteous to me? It's true. It's true. I mean, I'll be honest. It's true. Well, man, that you hit me, I'm going to hit you back. You talk about me, I'm going to talk about you. You step on me, I'm going to step on you with 2 feet.
Hallelujah.
I mean, you know, that's not what we're supposed to do. I'm just letting you know, that's not what we're supposed to do. It says here to love mercy. Everybody say love mercy.
Love mercy.
Everybody say have mercy.
Have mercy.
Now look at number three. It says, walk humble. Now, humility is not thinking of yourself as a second-class citizen. How many know that? I mean, you're not garbage. You're not junk. You're not, you know, useless. You're not unworthy. How many know God's made you somebody in Him? He's qualified you to be in His family. Amen? I mean, sometimes religion has taught us wrong. Religion has told us that we're useless, that we're nobody. I mean, well, that's not true. I mean, we're somebody because God sent His Son to die for us. You think about it. Would you give your child for somebody else? Think about it. God loves us so much that He gave His Son for you and me. Amen?
Amen.
So humility, sometimes we get wrong with humility. No, humility is accepting who we are in Christ and walking in who we are in Christ. Humility is depending upon God. I'm not pinning on myself. I'm not leaning in my own understanding. But in all of my ways, I'm acknowledging Him. And He will direct my path. Amen? I'm saying, Lord, I need You. Now, write the scripture down. We won't take time to turn it. Because I got to stop. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. It gives us a list of things that are happening, not going to, that are happening right now in the earth. It's in the last days these things are going to happen. And if you look through that list, there's all kinds of things in that list. I mean, lovers of self, covetousness, boastful, disobedience of parents. I mean, we're seeing that right now. But one of the things it says here in that list is unthankful. This list, if you really look at it, it's a list that's opposite of what humility should be. So we can actually take this list and look at it and think, oh, one of the things that listed here is unthankful. And I know we're coming up on Thanksgiving. One of the ways that we humble ourselves is receiving who God has made us to be and walking in that, what God has made us to be, not walking as a sinner, but as a child of God. But also having a thankful heart. We live in a world that's not thankful for anything. They think they deserve it and you owe it to them. I mean, God doesn't owe us anything.
Amen.
And anything we get from God is by His grace.
Amen.
And I am so thankful. I get up in the morning and say, thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you, God, for giving me Your Son. Thank you, Father God.
Yes.
It's not because of me. It's because of You that I'm in Your family. I mean, you and I, if we want to do right, if we want to do the requirements that God has asked us, we've got to have a thankful heart. Amen.
Woo!
And you know what? Not just to God, but to other people. Sometimes people say, well, that's a nice dress you got on. Nice dress you got on. Hallelujah. You say, oh, this old thing? I mean, we need to be thankful. That's not humility. Well, this old thing, I got it on sale. No, we ought to what? Say, thank you. That's being humble. Now, let me real quickly. I got to quit. Stop. If y'all would listen faster, I could go faster. Blame it on you. I know. Just joking. Now, what was the first one? Everybody say, do justice.
Do justice.
Everybody say, love mercy.
Love mercy.
And walk humble. Now, I was reading this just the other day, this scripture, just like 2 weeks ago, and I saw this. It says, do justice, love mercy, walk humble. And I thought, do, love, walk. Think about it. Do, love, walk. What does Jesus say? The greatest commandment fulfills all the commandments, all the requirements, if I just do love. Amen? Now, write these scriptures down. I won't take time to turn there. If you want to know, you can come back next service. The fruit of this. I mean, I said earlier, God's going to bless us where He can bless us, but He's got to, we got to give Him a little bit more work to work with. Amen? I mean, you've got to give Him a little more. When we give Him a little more, He can bless us even more.
Amen. I mean, you're blessed because you're in God's family. I mean, the sinner God loves, but you are blessed because you're in his family. And when you do the requirements, you see even more of his blessings.
Yes.
Write the scripture down. 1 Peter chapter 13. The fruit of doing right. It says nobody will be able to harm you if you'll be a follower of that which is good. Write the scripture down. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. It says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. When you give mercy, how many know you'll get mercy? Amen? Now listen to me. I know people ought to live right and they ought to do right, but when I give forgiveness, when I give mercy, I'm going to see it come back to me in the form and the fashion, the way that I need it. Amen?
Amen.
Now number three, the fruit of humility is James chapter 4, verse 6. It says, if we walk humble, God gives grace unto the humble. And it actually says he gives more grace unto the humble. Amen? Everybody say, do right,
love mercy,
and walk humble. Go ahead and stand up to your feet. Father, I thank you that we want to fulfill the requirements that you ask of us. Father God, we want to do what's pleasing and right in your sight. And Father God, we come against pride. We come against an unthankful heart, and we choose to do what you require of us. Father God, speak to us, lead us, guide us by your word and by your spirit. And we covet it with you, Lord, that we're going to do the right thing. We're going to act on your word, and we're going to see great and mighty results in our life and also in the kingdom of God. Just keep your heads bowed this morning. If you don't know Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity right now to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The best decision that you'll ever make in your life, receiving Jesus Christ as Lord. If you don't know Jesus right where you're at, I'm not going to ask you to come up right now. We'll let the pastors do that at the end. But whoever you are, God loves you and God cares for you. And the first requirement is to receive the free gift of Jesus. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, right where you're at, right where you're standing, with nobody looking around, I want you to lift your hand right now. Don't be bashful. Don't be shy. Lift your hand. God loves you, and he's made a way for you to come into his kingdom. We give you the glory. Anybody here this morning? Anybody here this morning? We thank you for it, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Everybody say, I will. Get my head shaved. You said it. Come on now. You're going to give me $10, hallelujah, to shave your head. Thank you. God bless you. Remember the coffee out there. I only got like 50 pounds, so you can actually buy it. Then when the third service comes, stand outside and you can sell it for 50. Inflation, hallelujah, praise God. Scalping my coffee. That's good. You sell it, you buy it. God bless you. Thank you very much for allowing me to minister the word of God. God bless you.